Well, after a amazing first side, we launch into side B of the record. If you were listening on LP and cassette back in the day, and obviously the second half of the CD, and I guess we take the journey. We've been going through this battle, and we've looked at fighting the battle, winning the battle, and worshiping a part of the battle. And now we enter into what I see a stage of the album where we're seeing the weary warrior and how the weary warrior can regain his strength and continue to be able to fight the battle. And that's I think that's really seen in the first song of side B in You Are My Rock. It really lyrically, I think it really is a good stepping stone out of the battle that we've been faced with and looking at how to take the next steps on the journey as an individual. I mean, this song really gets to the heart of pressing into God, of Him being our rock and our fortress, really drawing on some of the writings, the Psalms that David wrote when he was dealing with the battles and stuff like that in the middle of the Psalms. It's a really good foundation for the weary warrior.
It's kind of sort of in the vein or echoing the legacy of a song like More Power to You. That sort of in the diff hardships of the journey, this is a song where you reflect and remind you of the hope which gives you your strength as a follower of Jesus. This is one of those songs that's got that. The words that come to mind are bait and switch, but that's not really a fair assessment. But it has an intro that belies the real feel of the song once you get into it. It's a very ethereal intro, very atmospheric. It's not a very clear melody being played. It's a chord progression on the synth that is just creating this atmosphere into which John Schlick begins singing.
I think it's an atmosphere. It's what I was saying. It's this atmosphere of the weariness. The battle zone is sort of coming to rest. You've got this almost picked up in the lines of the second, well, even the first line. It's the shadows of uncertainty. You're moving through this realm, this era zone where you've copped a fair barrage, and it creates this atmosphere of almost searching for that refuge, searching for that safe place. And then, as you said, you get this feel that the keys sort of laying a nice searchy sort of feel out there, the guitar just building in underneath it. And then, like you said, it just rises up as it hits the pre-chorus.
Well, it just turned, like, it just Louis just comes in and lays that hard, solid beat. And it's like, I mean, the turn in the music reflects the turn in the lyrics, because the last line of the first stanza is, "I hear another voice inside my head." That's not a good voice. That's a voice of discouragement. Next line, "But then the darkness is broken into." It's a change. It's shifting the moment and the narrative.
And it's not just musically as well, because John's vocals go to a whole nother
Yes,
level. Oh my
he
goodness,
adopts a
they are
different
just
tone in his voice, doesn't he?
And it just launches out, and then we hit it. You are my rock, you're my fortress, my shield. And just these line after line, statement after statement of who God is, my strength. My comfort, my peace, my salvation. It really just hits that God brings the strength, God brings the protection in the battle zone.
Such declarative statements, and they really, again, it's an inspiring kind of get you on your feet kind of tone. I love the echo that the backing vocals provide
Oh, yes.
in the midst of the chorus as well. You know, it's another one of those. I harken back a long way back in talking about some of the earlier albums. I mentioned how there were songs where the chorus very much felt like something where everybody was coming in to sing together. And this feels a bit like that as well. The song's kind of feels like it's got a few links to the past. None of that, you know, diminishes John as the lead vocalist in this case, but it's just a nice tie that, again, this isn't a moment, probably nicely reinforcing the real message of the song. We're not alone. We're never alone.
No. And I really feel that this is almost like it's almost like Bob's Psalm. It's almost like Psalm 151 to me. Like Bob has written something that you could just see sitting in the Psalms structurally, lyrically. Like you could see this just coming out. The heart of David comes out in this Psalm. The heart of Bob is here. It's just Bible-based. It's thematic. It's the revelation of God's nature, his protective nature to us. And the band just create this amazing atmosphere through the intro, as you said, that the power that builds in the pre-chorus, the chorus, it's like the light is breaking through. It's like God's power breaks in. The drums are really good throughout. There's some great fills and a little bit of offbeat stuff. So they're bringing some complexity. The instrumental coming, you know, after the chorus, you know, there's a guitar solo, but with a real support of the keys and the bass. So it's a real band feel, like everyone's a part of this journey and this pressing into the rock of God.
Absolutely. I think personal reflection here, more than any other song on this album, this is the one I would have loved to have caught live with this lineup of the band, you know, this in a stadium gig. This I feel would have been something really special to have heard.
And I think it's interesting because we've looked at other albums and we've often been critical of that first song on the second side that doesn't seem to carry where things have gone. This is a real power hit. Like this song just launches side B in such a strong way. It doesn't back off from where they've been. It doesn't take us into a new journey. It really feels like it is a continuation of where they've come from.
Absolutely. It rolls on though into a real fascinating song. I probably would say this next one is my personal favorite off this album. I know that might not be shared by a lot of people. I can be idiosyncratic with these things, and that's why this one appeals to me. It's, gosh, The Water Is Alive. What a fascinating song. I love it. It's really great. That's not to say it's weird or anything. Just it's hard to quite put my finger on what it is about this song that feels like it's sitting a little bit separate from the rest of this album. Not completely. Just it's a little unique in the midst of this album. I don't know how you feel about it.
I think there is a uniqueness to it, but I think it fits with the theme of the song. I spoke before, just a moment ago, about the weary warrior pressing into God for his strength and his refuge. And what does a weary warrior need? He needs to be refreshed. He needs to be re-empowered. And you're re-empowered through the water that comes from God. You allow the spirit and the power of God to fill you up. You know, whoever comes to him, he will give a water that will never run out. You know, it's that theme that comes out of the woman at the well. And it really, I think it fits in with that idea, the weary warrior. And so it's like a refreshment. This song is like a refreshment, something slightly different. Like you said, the sound is slightly different, but I believe it's a refreshing feel designed to refresh and reinvigorate our weary warrior. I really love the start to this song because if you listen into what each instrument is doing, you get the sort of the strong riff of the guitar driving the start of the song. But underneath it, there's this keyboard sound that sounds like a flowing river. John Lowry is playing up and down the keys like a river flowing. And I think it is really, really poignant, and it really creates that feel for this song. And I think it really lays that foundation that takes us on this journey. And I really, it is a really enjoyable song. Press into God, let him refresh you and reveal you. And this is another song where the band really comes together in the chorus. You get the backing vocals, the whole band sings, "The water is alive." Yeah. And John takes the next bit. And then, you know, "The water is alive, feel it flowing out." A lot. Like there's that, it's almost like that call and response sort of thing. The band sing the call out and John gets to sing the response.
Yeah, exactly. It's also a showcase of some real nuance and finesse and skill in the craft of songwriting. I think this song actually represents quite a huge demonstration of Bob's prowess as a writer from a musical side, because this song has... one of the key features in the chorus is a modulation mid-chorus. You're in your major key, you know, coming into the chorus, which is, you know, really the bulk of the feel of the song. But you have this transition, this modulation mid-chorus, just briefly. And that's actually a tricky thing to do. Like, I mean, Muso's playing it, you know, you learn to play whatever music's put in front of you, but to actually craft well a song where that kind of transition happens when you're writing it, and it's really amazing. And that's one of the things, one of the features musically of the song that has always made it stick very much in my mind and keeps me coming back. This is what kind of makes this stand out a lot of ways to me. It's an energizing song, like, you know, again, just like that vein of
it's an oasis.
Yes.
It's an oasis in the wilderness. It says it in the verse. It says it in the lyrics that it's an oasis. The oasis waits for those who roam. You know, it's there written in the line of the song. But it's not just that the structure of how he's done it. Each individual musician really puts on some real key stuff. Like I've already talked about John Lowry's keyboarding in the intro, but in the coda, you get this real variation in Louis' drumming, you know, sort of the almost the offbeat sort of hit and a depth and variation that adds. And Bob's guitar playing is just phenomenal. What he is doing, the speed, the fingers, the notes that he is playing are just outstanding. It is real, technically very difficult. So it'd be a very difficult song to replicate. I've never heard anyone do a cover of this song. I'm not sure that anyone could do a cover of this song.
It's. I mean, again, I think it's in part. You know, this is where the strength of doing a studio album comes in, and the control you have in that environment. This is an example of how that produces something really fantastic. This is all the elements coming together well. You know, you're capturing a live performance from your artists, but you're also bringing technical skills and technology to bear that amplifies and enhances. And that's what the skill is, and that's what it's about. I know the tendency can be to feel that interfering with the natural live performance with using computers or synthesizers and stuff like that can be seen as diluting the purity of a performance. But I think this album is actually a strong argument that when it's done well, when everyone's doing it right and there's a balance of these elements together, it just all comes together to elevate the final sound and the final product.
Yeah, no, that's good. I totally agree with that.
So we come to, I guess, I think this is kind of the standard of this era of the band. It's kind of the standard feature. It's two ballads per album for a while. That's about right, isn't it? We come to ballad number two here for This Means War. Another song that in my heart and in my mind, I identify quite strongly with Petra. It actually is a... you know, is kind of at the top of the list of songs that I recall when I think of Petra. And I'm not entirely sure why. I think of this song before I think of I Am Available.
Well, I'm wondering, part of it could be when I got this album, as I said, I talked about I would put it onto a cassette so I could listen to it on my old Walkman. And what my parents had taught me to do is that if a song doesn't quite get to the end of this, like if you got your end of your 30 minutes and if the song cuts out on the beginning of the next side of the tape, you just restart the song and go again. Well, it was halfway through this song where that happened on my cassette. And
that's
so you would get
right.
half of Don't Let My Heart Be Hardened on side A. And then so B, the cassette, you'd have it again. And so I think it was the repetition of it and the impact of hearing it go again that probably brings that to mind. But this is a lovely song. This is very much to me, this is John Schlitt's song. This is John Schlitt completely carrying this song. It's interesting. Bob Hartman writes in the More Power To You devotional about this song that he wrote this song shortly after John Schlitt joined the band. So it's probably the first song written for the album. And Bob says, John was so full of innocence and zeal, having been out of music altogether for 5 years following his conversion to Christ. John knew nothing of the frustrations of being an artist in the Christian music business. Unfortunately, I had seen those frustrations turn many hearts cold and bitter and cynical towards the things of God. But John's heart was fresh and his infectious enthusiasm was apparent in every interview and every performance, and I wanted it to stay that way. And I really feel that it allowed this song, it's almost like it's written for John. John's heart, John's where he was in life at the time, and John is allowed to carry it. They don't complicate this song. It's John.
No, it's very stripped back. It's very stripped back.
Very John, very keyboard, very just let him go, and it's very beautiful. I found it interesting. It harkens back a little bit. I see a little bit of All Over Me in this, because here's a song where we start with the chorus. Then we go into the verse and we come back to the chorus. And each time we come back to the chorus, John seems to build a little bit vocally. It doesn't build the way All Over Me builds musically back on the More Power To You album, but you can hear there's more heart each time he comes back to that chorus. Almost more feeling and more emotion delving into this song the further through they go.
Yeah, it's got that very nice accompanying oohs and ahs of, you know, the chorus of singers as well that, again, creates atmosphere for the song but just complements quite nicely what is going on. It is a lovely song.
You finished.
I was just saying it's funny, like Petra has never held back at offering a rebuke to Christians, whether it's the church in general or, you know, particular kinds of believers. There's an aspect of this song where the message is, it's semi-rebuke, it's challenging because it's addressing a real issue and a real problem. But this is a case where they do it in such a gentle, loving way. This is a plea, and
I think it's a recognition that when you have been going through the battle, the spiritual battle, as a Christian, the longer you're in it, you can become weary and cold, and the fire starts to die out a little bit. You lose that enthusiasm because you've been there, done that. You've seen a lot. Like you hear stories, soldiers who are at war for extended periods of time become more cold and more, you know, their parts of their heart that just get cut off and hardened because of the experience. And I think there's a spiritual element to it. The longer you're walking with God and you're walking through the battles that the enemy is trying to throw at you and you're overcoming them, it can be very easy to become a little cold, to become a little bit, oh, I've just been doing this for so long, it's the same, it's the same, it's the same. And I think it's not maybe not so much the rebuke, but the challenge. Don't let yourself go there. Weary warrior, press back into God and let him fan that flame and let him refuel you and let him build up your heart for him again. This song's actually on this journey that we've been doing, this podcast journey. I've really come to appreciate this song more than I ever have. And I think part of it is I was reflecting with my wife the other day. This journey for the podcast has really helped me reconnect in a different way to God that I haven't done in a while. It's almost been the heart of this song. My God has been opening up my heart again, because I'm just spending so much time letting these songs flow over me and speak to my spirit and reflecting on them and looking at the heart of the songs and looking at some of the passages that the songs have come from. I've really felt a reconnection to God that I haven't had in a while. And so this song has really started to speak to me in a way it never had before, because it's opening me up to the theme of the message of the song. My heart is being opened back up to God. I don't want to be that weary warrior. I want to be that person who's just fully in love with God.
Well, man, thanks for sharing that.
It's all right.
That's really awesome. I can't add anything to that. That's you encapsulated that perfectly, I think. So I think we roll straight on to lyrically the oddest. I feel like the oddest song on the album, but look, a solid rock entry. As the album starts to wrap up, Dead Reckoning.
Mm.
Which is very much, very, very much in the sound that Petra was going for in this season of the band, something that's transitioned to, you know, a lot more of the, you know, dare we say, hair metal or glam rock acts of the mid to late 80s. This really, again, kind of more than anything else on this album, echoes that sound, but still Petra's song through and through.
Oh yeah, look, this song really, I wrote the words, this song really moves. It is just, they launch into this and they take it, and there's a lot going on musically. There's a lot happening. The drums are in there. Mark's bass playing is really good in this. There's a lot of really good bass runs in there. John Lowry's keyboard work, I just wrote, his genius is at work again, because it is just, he's doing stuff that I haven't heard coming out of the sounds of Petra before. It really creates a great overall feel to the song. And then you get those fast-paced lyrics again. And we've got a song that's talking about, I see it as it's talking about the internal war and the internal battle that can go on in our lives, where we're wanting to trade that old life for the new life. We want the spirit to transform us. We want to submit our flesh to the spirit. And so the war that we've been talking about goes from the external spiritual war into the internal battle of the flesh versus the spirit in our heart. And I think it really sort of it ties it all back to the battle that's been won by Jesus' death. You know, the victory is there, and we just need to submit to what the Spirit wants to do.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's nicely tying in thematically. Like we've talked, other songs have kind of leaned into the true victory for the Christian is found in humility and surrender, which is, you know, antithetic to typical talk about warfare and combat. This is the ultimate expression of that. In fact, death is where victory is found, and it is the state that we want. We want death of the old self, and the death of that we experience in this world will be the ultimate freedom and release and embrace of victory in eternity. Bob Hartman has done that a few times in songs. He's taken an expression, a common usage expression, and kind of built a song around it, not just bringing in a spiritual meaning to this common expression, but also inverting how we generally use it. So, sort of taking a negative expression and saying, actually, this is the kind of thing Christians should be all about. I love that kind of wordplay. That's something that I really, really enjoy. And this is almost an epic example of that. And a real, but again, coupled with such a solid rock beat and drive, and it's a good carry on of the momentum of the album.
Yeah, and I just love it. It really it all sort of comes together. It has a real tight finish to it. We don't have a fade out song here. We have a really tight finish. Da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na. Like it just sort of brings it together. Bang! There it is. The work is complete in our spirit, in our heart, and in this song. And it sets itself up for the next song, which I think it's a nice little lead out. Like they get that really tight finish, and then from there it launches into the drum ride to create the scenario for the last song.
All the king's horses.
And I guess talking about victory, talking about final victory, here it comes. We come full circle. We started out with a declaration of war, knowing that the battle would be won. We've got the declaration of war. And at the end of the album, we have the final victory. We have Jesus and all the king's horses riding out from heaven to put an end to the battle. Straight out of Revelation, and the end to the war comes at the end of this album. It's just a great tie off.
Yeah. This is, you know, it's interesting. This is a song that, I feel Dead Reckoning is a bit more in that hard rock edge than this song is. This is pulling back a little bit more into a pop feel, not totally, just it's a little lighter in its tone, but obviously that fits the lyric and the theme. It's obviously a more hopeful and inspiring message that it's communicating there.
It's got a real victory feel to it. The guitar and the drums really drive this one, and the keys and the bass are sort of filling in the sounds underneath it. You get a real nice prominent bass riff in the verse, you know. It's an age-old, when you're listening to it, it's an age-old score that's got to be settled. If you listen underneath, it's almost like the bass is driving the verse. And then it builds into that chorus, all the King's Horses and all the King's Men, and everyone's there. The backing vocals were all there. The musos were all there. All the King's Horses, all the band, all the angels, all the heavens, all the worshippers come together to fill out this chorus and bring a real drive into that refrain that keeps coming over again.
Yeah, and you know, again, it's another example of that taking a classic trope or a classic theme and inverting it. You know, now we're taking a nursery rhyme here, and
absolutely,
and you know, the coup de grace of the nursery rhyme, which is pretty bleak and horrible when you think about it, but just talking about this impossible scenario, like no matter the power of the king and all his forces in the world, there are things that he can't restore. Well, you know what? We serve a different king, and it's a different story for him. There is not a single thing that he can't restore, and he's going to.
And not just a heart or a life. He's going to put the whole world back together again.
That's it.
You know, the whole world back together again. It's a great. I love that little tie in there. It's a fantastic tie-in. I wrote it down. I love the connection to that Humpty Dumpty nursery rhyme. You know, like you said, Humpty Dumpty fell and broke into pieces, and nothing could put it back together. The world is broken, but Jesus has come, and God, the Father, the Creator, is putting this world back together again. And it's a great finish, a great resolution.
It really is. It really is. And this, more than any album they have done, any of them, really has this theme and story that progresses from song one right through here to song 10 and just closes and wraps up nicely into this, dare I say it, perfect package.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a we get this great finishing. There's this amazing guitar. There's this really great guitar solo. But as the song is winding out, John just, it's almost like he just launches vocally. He's letting out some absolute screaming refrains vocally to bring, like you said, to bring this great conclusion. Probably the best finish to any Petra album we have seen today. I mean, you know, we'll talk about this I'm sure in just a couple of minutes, but it's certainly up there from a production standpoint. It is just this great solid ending that like you said, ties it all together, ties the theme of the album, the ties together the sound they're trying to project, and you know, and it ties. I mean, that the bass work in this song as well really allows Mark Kelly to sign off on such a high note.
He really does. This has just been stellar work. This has been such a joy to revisit this album after so long. And you know, as we've talked about, we're engaging with it in new ways, coming to it slightly older now and finding there's new resonance in this album with us. And, you know, I'm so grateful after all these years, Petra continues to minister to me, you know, through their songs in new and wonderful ways. Sorry, go on.
No, you go.
I was going to say, there's an old adage in movies, and, you know, movies are one of the things that I'm big on. I'm a little bit of a cinephile type. And that is, a perfect movies exist, but a perfect movie is not perfect because literally every aspect about the movie is objectively perfect. What a perfect movie is a movie that does what it sets out to do in the best possible way. So, you know, a comedy isn't ever going to be judged good as a drama, but that's not what it's trying to do. But you can get perfect movies that are comedies. You know, one of the easiest that comes to mind is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Raiders of the Lost Ark is just meant to be a throwback to old-fashioned adventure serials, and it's perfect. It is a perfect movie because it does what it does well. I set all that up to say this about the album This Means War. It is a perfect album. It's a perfect Petra album because it encapsulates so much of what the band was about, particularly of this era. But even taking Petra and who they are out of it, it's a perfect album. It's an album that very clearly has its sound, its identity, its message, its story, and it does it perfectly. From song one all the way through to song 10. It is one whole perfect package. Now that actually is what we're gonna talk about in a minute. I've reflected in this past week particularly over this, which has actually given me a bit of a dilemma, but I'll save that for a moment. What did you want to say about this?
I think you sort of tied it there. There is just so much in this album. It comes together so well. This theme that runs through these albums, this theme of warfare, spiritual warfare, and not every song is about battle, but the themes that flow through the weary warrior pressing into God, being refreshed, allowing God to refine and refuel him, to change him and to go back into battle, and it carries on. Each member of the band just brings a new level. Like John Lowry's keyboard work through this album is just off the charts. It is whole nother level of music elements brought into it. I mean, we were quite high praise for the work that John Slick had done on the albums he was a part of. And John Lowry has slowly brought different elements to each album he's worked on. And now we've got this variety and depth to his stuff. Mark's bass playing is probably the strongest it's been on any album. Louis' drumming was the finest that he's done. John's vocals are just at their absolute peak. And Bob's guitar work is just sensational. The guitar solos, the riffs, the lines that he plays, and his songwriting is next level. It the whole album, the whole band, they've taken a step up, a step in a new direction. They've refined their sound. They've developed as a unit, and they've brought together a package that is just, like you said, it is a perfect album. It is amazing.
Absolutely.
So where does it sit then? We're talking about, you know, a perfect album, a sound that's created. Where does this album then sit when we compare it against what's been brought before it?
Well, I think there's a strong case to be made that this far in the band's history, this sits at the top of that listing, at the top of the list of their albums. Like, as much as I really love Captured in Time and Space and possibly just personally would prefer to listen to Captured in Time and Space, going over this again, I'm like, I think This Means War is objectively a superior, a better album, just because of this, because of the way it's crafted, because of the way it's been put together.
Yeah, look, I think I've got to agree with you. I know coming into this journey, I strongly expect you Captured in Time and Space to be sitting at the top for so long. That live feel, that live atmosphere, and the way everything came together on that album is sensational. But when I've listened to this, when I've listened to what each band member does in this and the technicality of this album at a musical level, the depth of the songwriting and the impact it has on has had listening to it on my spiritual journey even now. I think I've got to take it a step up. Captured in Time and Space is like a bringing together of everything, of the best elements of the Greg X Vols era. It's almost like a best of album done in front of a live audience. But This Means War, I think, has a real depth of heart and lyrics that that really take it up a notch, and it has such an impact on my spirit that I can't. Yeah, I feel it is. It is sitting there at the number one spot.
Now, having said that, the dilemma that I find I'm sitting with right now is that This Means War is an album that I want to listen to. But what's lost in that is that I'm not particularly inclined to want to listen to specific songs from This Means War. Other Petra albums, I can very easily pick. That's a song I want to listen to right now and just skip straight to that. But this is one, no, I put on This Means War. I'm putting on the album. I'm listening to the whole album because that's what I'm here for. So I am actually finding it quite difficult to go through and think what individual songs off this album rise above. And I know that I've said The Water Is Alive is a personal favorite, but I don't think The Water Is Alive is a contender for a top 25 spot.
Well, I think there's a few songs on this album that I think are worth considering.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's whether or not they slip in. And obviously, as we've indicated, we have our secondary list that is going to be starting to be built alongside the overall playlist, which is our John Schlitt playlist, to build and have separately. But I guess let's just start from the top, because I think a few of these songs are contenders, but we need to see whether they sit where they sit and compare against other songs. Let's just go straight to the top of the album. This Means War, the title track, the title song. We really sung its praises earlier. And I guess I ask you the question, do you feel This Means War? When I read out some of these other songs, do you feel that it sits at a higher level? Let me just throw some in. I'll come in at the lower end of the list and let's see where we come in. What about This Means War compared to a song like Killing My Old Man off the Never Say Die album?
Man, you don't make this easy for me, do you? I mean, This Means War, the song, admittedly, is iconic for Petra. It is a defining moment for the band, a defining song for them. I couldn't say the same about Killing My Old Man, but it's brilliant song. I would listen to Killing My Old Man rather than listen to This Means War as a song. So this is the kind of conflict that I'm feeling here and the kind of tension that I'm in. Kind of trying to be as objective as I can and as much as that matters in this kind of a discussion. This Means War probably edges out over something like Killing My Old Man.
All right. Well, let me, I'm going to skip around. Let's find out where we sit, because I'm not going to go up each song individually because we'll be here forever. If we do that. We'll end up with a third part if we're not careful. So let's have a look at this. I'm gonna throw straight into the praise medley off Captured in Time and Space. Does the drive and the power, the drum drive, and John's vocals take it above that amazing praise medley that Greg X Vols sings live?
No, I could very easily say no. I wouldn't go there with it.
Okay, so we come back from there. What about Beamer Seat off the Not of This World album?
I still think Beamer Seat's going to hold its spot there. That's an interesting comparison to make. So one of the things that's going on there, Beamer Seat was, we talked about the particular term Beamer Seat being one that confused us as younger people. And we've had to kind of come to understand the context of the term. But despite that confusion, the message of the song is very, very clear, and it's understandable what it's talking about. Now, this means war. I want to be careful how I say this. This was highlighted at someone else who was feeding back on Facebook commented a little bit on this, and you know, I agreed. It's treading closely to the kind of language that actually makes me a little uneasy when it comes to Christian circles. And I think it comes close to being on that line where the language of warfare that it's employing, that a Christian might employ, starts to actually drift away from who Christ calls us to be and how he calls us to live. Now, let me be clear. It's not heretical. It's not heresy. And it's not doing that. The song falls on the right side of the line of that. But it's close in that the language is a little bit confrontational. And I'm always a little cautious about when we spin the tale of who Satan is and where he came from, because ultimately there's an element that is always speculative, and I don't think we should make too much of that as Christians. And look, this is one song out of everything that Petra has ever put out, so you can't accuse them of making too much of anything. It remains a solid song. It's grounded. I think it sticks very much with the biblical message, but it's flirting with some lines that I'm a little uncomfortable with. And so,
all right,
that huge long-winded thing is what I say. That's why Beamer Seat holds a spot. Right.
What about Not By Sight? How do you compare it to Not By Sight? I think the musical feel of This Means War is a lot stronger than Not By Sight.
Well, it's certainly more hard-edged. It's certainly more, and I certainly can't deny that. I'd be so reluctant to see Not By Sight drop down. Because I personally have such a soft spot for it. Look, I don't think so. I think I would push to maintain Not By Sight in its spot.
All right. Well, below that is the original God Gave Rock and Roll to You.
Another really, really hard comparison to make, because I've talked at length about that song being an iconic historic aspect of the band.
So you sort of have two very iconic songs here.
Yeah. It's almost, actually, this is almost the perfect point of comparison. I'm probably going to say This Means War.
Okay. This Means War slots in just above God Gave Rock and Roll to You. Okay, so, and obviously we'll review the playlist at the end. Okay, the next song on the album, a classic, very popular song in all the concerts, He Came, He Saw, He Conquered. How do you sit with He Came, He Saw, He Conquered? Let's start. Are we putting it above This Means War?
Well, yeah. If This Means War is on the list, then He Came, He Saw, He Conquered is on the list. Let's figure this one out.
Okay, let's come back to that praise medley. Is it better than the praise medley?
I think no, but that's only just. I think this is going to slot in right under the praise medley.
Okay, so you're saying it's under the praise medley but above Beamer Seat.
Yeah, yeah. That's something I'm solid and comfortable saying.
All right. So I just want to ask, do we consider Get On Your Knees and Fight Like a Man as a song that should be hitting this playlist, or do you feel that that's sitting a little bit below?
I don't.
I was of the same feeling, and that's okay. All right. I am available. This beautiful song we spoke about earlier. How does that, and I guess we've compared it to ballady sort of songs. How does I Am Available compare to a song like a More Power To You or a Road to Zion?
Yeah, I might put I Am Available. I'd possibly put it above More Power To You.
All right. Well, Above More Power To You is not of this world.
Yeah, you know what? Slotting it in between those two is a sweet spot as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it sits around there. I think that it's got a real feel. I personally would probably have it above Not of This World. I think there's a bit more heart in I Am Available. Not of This World is a good song and it creates a good atmospheric theme, but I think I Am Available has a personal touch to it that Not of This World doesn't hold. But I'm also happy to concede that perhaps musically Not of This World is a better musical base to it. Mm. All right. I just throw it there. Does Ken and I get a look in here?
Not from me.
And that's okay. I think I agree with that. It doesn't sort of slot in. Okay, You Are My Rock.
I already know there's going to be a chorus of people thinking that I'm out of my mind, but I don't think so. This is starting to fall in where I think these songs are working so perfectly and so amazingly in this album. But if we're taking them out and we're wanting to throw them up against other individual songs from Petra's, I'm not feeling them.
How does You Are My Rock compare to Angel of Light?
I'd listen to Angel of Light before I'd listen to You Are My Rock.
Okay. And I'm just getting that feel. And I think I would probably say I'd probably listen to God Pleaser over the live version of God Pleaser over You Are My Rock.
Yeah.
So Now you've talked about your personal feelings for The Water Is Alive. Do you feel that The Water Is Alive is going to jump in? We've just said a song like God Pleaser or Angel of Light. Do you feel it sits above them?
No, I don't think it's there.
How do you compare it to You Are My Rock that we've just said? Do you feel it's a better song than You Are My Rock, or would you have it sitting under?
No, I don't actually. I think it's, you know, again, trying to be objective, I think You Are My Rock is probably the better song, and it's more of what, you know, that Petra sound. The Water Is Alive just happens to have some esoteric elements to it that particularly appeal to me, but I wouldn't expect everybody to share that opinion.
All right. We've just been talking about the heart and the simplicity and the carry of Don't Let Your Heart Be Hardened. How does Don't Let Your Heart Be Hardened compared to I Am Available?
No, see, I think I Am Available is the better ballad off this album. We might be, you know, kind of splitting hairs. They are two different.
They are two different styles of song, two different songs. How does Don't Let Your Heart Be Hardened compare to something like More Power To You or Road to Zion?
Again, I'm not putting it above those two songs.
What about Hollow Eyes?
I wouldn't be putting it there either.
Okay. All right. So I'm just feeling it out. How would you compare Don't You Let Your Heart Be Hardened to Thankful Heart off the previous album, off Back to the Street?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, and that's kind of the, I feel, yeah, kind of the more apt comparison. Gosh. Man, those feel like they're neck and neck. They really do. I think I'm leaning towards Thankful Heart.
Okay. Yep, I would agree with that. All right. And so I think the last song to be considered for our playlist is the final song on the album, All the King's Horses.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about this song? I think it's quite a very good song. How do you compare? Well, I'm going to start off within the album. How do you compare it to He Came, He Saw, He Conquered, and This Means War? Do you rank All the King's Horses above either of those, or would you have sitting below those?
I think I'm sitting it below both of those as a whole package, although I think lyrically All the King's Horses is more complex and more admirable from a lyrics perspective, but as a whole package of a song, I think it sits under.
So it sits under This Means War. All right. How does All the King's Horses compare against Angel of Light?
Yeah, I think I'm still saying Angel of Light holds its own.
What about Mary's Song?
Ooh, that's such an old. My brain's going crazy right now because that's such a cognitive dissonance between those two songs. I don't think I'm moving Mary's Song.
All right. Underneath Mary's Song is Hollow Eyes.
That's something that I'd be more willing to consider. I'm not entirely sure where I'm at. Tell me what you think.
I think All the King's Horses, I think it's a notch above Hollow Eyes. I personally think the victory nature of the song, I think what the band brings to it, we just talked about the bass work in the song, the variety, the driving nature of it, the guitar solo that's in there, and John's vocals at the end of All the King's Horses, I think it deserves to be considered above Hollow Eyes.
Okay. Okay.
Do you have a counter argument?
I do not. I do not. So are we- and that kind of really says everything, doesn't it? I think I can get on board with that. So yeah, above right. Hollow Eyes.
Okay, but having said that, and as I just finish up the hits on this playlist and where everything sorts out, all that really means is that it still misses out on the top 25 as it now stands, because the top 25, and today I'm going to start at the top and work our way down for a bit of a change, but sitting at the top, there's not a lot of change to the top of the list. This I thought there would be more of a hit, but there, and out of conversations, there hasn't been. Going from the top of our list, for those of you who want to build your playlist at home on Spotify or using your iTunes, or you want to make a mixed tape, the live version of Grave Robber and the live version of It Is Finished come in at 1 and 2. Judas Kiss, Adonai, and Yahweh Love round out the top 5. Completing the top 10 is Chameleon, the live version of Clean, Taste and See, rose-coloured stained glass windows and all over me. At 11 is Backsliding Blues, followed by Not of This World. Our new entry at number 13, I Am Available. More Power to You moves to 14 and Road to Zion behind that. At number 16 is The Colouring Song, then The Praise Medley. Then we have He Came, He Saw, He Conquered, clocking in at 18. Beamer Seat at 19 and Not By Sight at 20. This Means War comes in at 21. God Gave Rock and Roll to You, the original version, at 22. Killing My Old Man, Angel of Light, and Mary's Song clings on to the number 25 spot this week. As we see, just missing out now is All the King's Horses just slips out. So there's our top 25. We're getting a slow infiltration of John Schlitt songs. In the John Schlitt playlist on its own, we are sitting with this as our current standings. We have I Am Available sitting at the top of that list. He Came, He Saw, He Conquered, This Means War, All the King's Horses, You Are My Rock, The Water Is Alive, Thankful Heart, and Don't Let Your Heart Be Hardened. So that playlist will very much develop over the next few albums. But I just found it interesting that we've had a couple of hits and we've lost a couple of songs out of our top 25. Key ones that have dropped out this time have been Hollow Eyes, God Pleaser, and I'm Thankful. Gee, I'm Thankful was in there for a very long time. It held on for a long time.
It hung on tight, didn't it?
I strongly suspect we're going to see the second song off that album, that same album, Mary's Song, is probably going to drop out next week when we start to look at some more inclusions. I think I'll be interested to see there might be some songs on our next installment of this podcast that might make a run a little bit higher up the list.
I think you're right, and so let me take this opportunity to reiterate, you know, I'm sure we're going to hear from many of you who are interacting with us on Facebook, and keep that up, by the way. I so enjoy reading your messages and interacting with you, even the little conflicts that are coming up. Everyone's keeping it polite. Everyone's keeping it reasonable. You're all treating each other with respect. So great. So disagree all you like, and disagree with us too if you think that we're getting this list, if we're out of our minds, if we're missing things, or if our opinion of this album seems a bit off. But let me just land down on this. I think This Means War absolutely, totally deserves its spot as the top album that Petra has released to this point in their career. But it is an album that it is a total package. It's something that I want to put on and listen to the whole thing, or it will accompany me throughout the day, you know, and I'm listening to the whole thing. Individual songs of This Means War don't really typically rise to the top. Moving forward, and I feel like On Fire is probably more so, Bob Hartman used the terminology of a sequel album before. I can't quite remember which two albums.
Not of This World was the sequel to to More Power to You, is the way he saw it.
Fair enough. Well, I think the stronger case for that comparison is made between these two albums, This Means War and On Fire. On Fire, in a lot of ways, to me, feels just like a real continuation. It's almost like it's the offcut. So this didn't make the final cut of This Means War, but it's still perfectly good enough to put a full album together. But individual songs,
I think it takes the step. It takes the journey. I think it's still the journey. I think they're songs that I think there's some individual songs and stuff that are really going to to match up quite strongly.
Yeah, and they're real contenders for the top 25. I will say that absolutely for sure. But look, guys, you agree with us? You disagree with us? You want to bring another perspective? You have some insight that we might be lacking? Send us those messages. Interact with us on Facebook. You can reach us by email, wemeanrock@gmail.com. Guys, Keep it coming.
Join us on Facebook. Send us Facebook messages. We're on Rock, the Petrospective Facebook page. You can check us there. You can send us messages through there. We've had a few come in privately. And I guess that's the thing. This is our heart. This is our journey. And this is the way we see it. And our choices of top songs, like, we know there are people who have favorite songs and preferred songs that are going to be different to what we think. And we want to reiterate our views on this top 20. Our playlist that we're building is our perception of what might be their better songs. We already have acknowledged there are songs that we personally prefer that aren't on this list, that, you know, if I had a personal preference, could sit and listen to certain songs. There are songs that we've already long cut out of the top 25 that I would go, put it on, I want to listen to it right now, because that's just a personal preference. But this is a journey that we're on together, and we love the feedback, and we appreciate, and we encourage you to keep coming along for the ride, because we've survived the war, and I tell you what, I'm all fired up for the next installment of this series.
Well said, Dave. Absolutely. And we hope you guys are as well. This has been a real epic event for us, our first two-part episode. Thank you so much for tuning in both times, those of you who have. And we hope that you've enjoyed this one as well. And we do look forward to seeing you in the furnace next time around. For On Rock, a Petrospective, I'm Lindsay Hall.
And I'm Dave.
We'll see you next time.